Once upon a time, two men decided if they were making the cut. And then they made the cut. And now JT and Aaron are talking everything from wrestling to pop culture and beyond. Because it's no holds barred.
Will you back down, turn and run? Or stand up with the best?
It's no hold barred.
Are we going to harmonize it?
No.
No? You don't want to go for the high C?
I want to go for the Hawaiian punch.
Oh, see, I like, do you have a favorite flavor of juice that's not juice, but drink?
God, I haven't had any of them in forever.
Really?
Growing up, we were a Country Time lemonade household.
Hmm.
So that was always like my mom always, it was kind of like the joke. It was either Crystal Light, Country Time. Like we always had the generic, just like clear jug that my mom would make.
And from concentrate?
I would concentrate on drinking it. And then like any friends that came over, anyone, like they just knew, like they could just have a glass of this lemonade out of the jug. Mm. I would often drink right out of the jug.
And you would give no care to who had to drink after you?
Correct. Who cares? Mm. It's mine. I'd even do cups of lemonade by my bed, not water.
Really?
I'd put it like a little mug with a top and a straw.
Your parents didn't shut that shit down?
I would have it next to my bed, a little sip of lemonade.
Now, would you allow your children to have lemonade by their bed?
No, because they'd be fucking insane. But that was the 80s. No one cared.
No one cared. See, me, it was Coke. I had Coke in my house all the time.
Right. And like, then what did you drink, though?
Cocaine.
Right.
Drank the cocaine. My dad would always buy big flats of Coke, and one time he brought home a box of Cadbury cream eggs. That's got to be one of the greatest days of my life.
It was just the, no one drank water in the 80s. That was it. We used to have soda, Crystal Light, that kind of stuff. And then I wonder why I have brutal acid reflux now. I used to drink lemonade before bed all the time.
Why am I in so much pain all the time? Never mind acid reflux.
Boy. So anyway, long story short, here we are.
Here we are.
No holds barred. And this is going to be a special summertime special episode. And Aaron, it's really meant to just be an unofficial kickoff to our project that's going to start the new fall season here at Noel's Bar.
Fall season. Who do you think you are?
Kevin Kelly will be on. So then we're going to continue our once a month ranking of the WWF pay-per-view workers, right? So every month we do the best workers of that month. We're going to finish the year. This will be the other week that we do Noel's Bar every month. We're going to work on this other project starting in September, because in August we're going to do a little something special. And then starting the second episode of September, we'll kick off this brand new project we've been coming up with and talking about for a bit now.
We've been hinting at it on all our shows for how long now?
Months.
Months. Months and months and months.
Not months from 90210, but months.
What is that? I feel so lost in all this 90210 stuff.
Well, just wait till you watch an episode with me for 90210.
Oh, all right. Fair enough. I'll have no context for anything.
That's my hope. I'm having diehards. I'm having people that never seen it. I want your takes.
Hmm. All right. Fair enough. I watched it. You know, I watched it as a teen. I just don't remember it. And I had a cousin who lived with us for like a couple years. And he bullied the shit out of me because I liked 90210.
What a piece of shit.
Yeah. Simon Richard, kiss my ass.
Darius Faceless. No.
Can I say that? Kiss my ass?
Yeah, why show? Not?
Well, no holds are barred, right?
He's kissing that large woman's ass.
Oh, my God, Kang.
All right. So here's our idea we've been talking about. We're trying to think, you know, we love ranking stuff and building lists and all this shit. And one thing we haven't done yet really is matches, right? We've done pay-per-views. We've done workers. Mm-hmm. We talked through our GWWE match list, but we haven't really, like, ourselves worked through building a list of matches.
No.
So we thought it'd be cool to look back and rank every WWF/WWE world title change. the proper world title. So the one that starts with the lineage of Buddy Rogers and proceeds all the way to Bobby Lindsay in current day.
From Buddy to Bobby. That's what this is called.
We'll see if Bobby's still champion by the time we start this. But if so, that's what we'll call it. Or Buddy to Brock.
Perhaps. Buddy to Brock.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see where we're at.
B2B. Let's call it B2B just to be safe.
So as it's, at the time we're starting this, is 141 champions. So there's been 140 title changes.
Not 141 champions. There's only...
We're 141 champions. Yeah, right. Some of those are multi-repeat, but 141 times there's been a champion.
Yeah.
So we're going to cover 52. all 139 title changes. Buddy Rogers was awarded the title.
We're not going to go in depth in that tournament.
You know, we can dig in if you want. I guess our plan is to go chronologically, right?
Yeah, we'll start at the beginning and have zero footage and probably like just burn you out on the project right away.
Yeah, I know. Like, part of me hates doing that route because all the great stuff will be done and I'll be stuck watching a bunch of slop for the last few years toward the end, but such is life. So this is obviously going to take a while. We've committed to knowing that. Like, there's going to be episodes where we cover, you know, a handful of matches, perhaps. There might be ones where it's one or two matches, you know. And
I love how you're prefacing it by saying, like, this is, we know it's going to take a while, when we're the people that bring you now entering the Royal Rumble.
Apparently, the SmackDown 2010 recaps.
Oh,
that
God.
One episode.
Oh, God. That would have been a great project. A great project. You know, I think we're just setting ourselves up to do shows together until we're both in the grave.
Yeah, together, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that goes without saying. I'm going to be buried with all my things and you.
Communal. Yeah. So if we're breaking this down, Aaron, are there any that immediately jump out at you off the top of your head? Like, oh, this will be like near the top.
I was just thinking about this and it's not a great match, but I have a feeling we're going to keep coming back to Hulk Hogan beating the Iron Sheik.
Yeah.
That's going to be like a touchstone one that we're going to compare everything to in terms of, because we're not just going to rank them in terms of match quality, although that will be a factor. We're going to talk a lot too about, was the title change important? How was the storyline up to it and stuff like that? So in terms of importance, that one feels, man, that's going to, I know we're going to keep coming back to it.
And that's where we're definitely looking for some feedback. So from the listeners here, you know, we have 2 months before we're going to kick this off. We're going to kick it off in September. Like, if you have any thoughts on how we could work the criteria for these matches, I'd love to hear them. Because obviously pure match quality is going to be one piece. But to Aaron's point, importance of the change is a key one too. So like, there are some title changes that, you know, at some point just kind of flip-flop the belt back and forth. Maybe it doesn't mean much. Long term, maybe the champion didn't do much with the belt. I don't want to focus too much on the reign per se, but maybe just kind of, you know, in the immediate where it went, right? So
yeah, and like, did it happen at the right time? Might actually be something interesting too.
And the other pieces too, like I do want to factor in here like crowd reaction. To me, that's a big part of it. Like, was it a big moment? Was it a big change? You know, was the crowd super into it? Like, you know, like whatever pieces can fall into this on top of just the pure work rate.
Yeah, because work rate, we end up just doing another GWWE list, right?
Right.
Because we could just look at our list now and rank them. But I think we got to go deeper than that for this project.
Yeah, and I mean, in points of the show it's on, did it main event the show? Was it on the undercard? You know, like, I think stuff like that matters too. Was it one of the biggest shows of all time and it was main eventing the show? You know, like, is Punk Cena the lock number one, right? We both have it as a top five match of all time. But are there bigger ones because of the implications that came with the other ones?
Do you have Punk Cena as your top ranked WWF title change match of all time in terms of match quality?
No.
What will be your number one right now?
John Cena versus Daniel Bryan.
You have that higher. What do you have that as? Is that your best match? Okay. Well, that's fair.
Top three of all time are Austin, Brett at 13, Cena, Bryan, and then Warrior Savage, and then Cena Punk.
Yeah, my top three are Punk, Cena, Austin, Brett, Hogan, Andre.
Well, then there's another interesting one too, Aaron. That is the 1992 Royal Rumble.
Right. That's like my eighth best match of all time, right? So. Yeah,
me too, Pete.
But that might be an interesting one in terms of legacy, right? Because as much as that, as much as that match, and I'm kind of just riffing here, I haven't really thought about it, but as much as that match is this incredible touchstone moment for anybody who was part of that era, right? It kind of set, I feel it's almost the start of the downturn of the importance of the championship. And it's almost unfair, but yeah. I think it's just because they're transitioning away from Hogan, and as a just as a natural consequence of getting away from him, it feels a little
right.
lesser.
But it's still the main thing in the company.
Yeah,
is there's it a though? Time later where it's yeah, I think yeah. so. Why? What's bigger than it?
Well, because by WrestleMania, it's not the biggest thing in the company.
Yeah, it still is. I mean, it's still this Hogan.
Well, that's it. But that's what I mean, is that like it takes kind of a back seat.
After that.
Yeah.
It's still the main prize for a while.
Right. But it also doesn't main event a show until
Survivor Series.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. But even then
would have. I mean,
but even then, I don't know how you were feeling at the time of that one, but that one felt like, oh, these guys.
Right, but they obviously really positioned it still as the main
main event. But it's on the downturn. Like it's not like the most important.
I think it's because
prize.
The promotion's on the downturn.
Yes. I agree. I don't think it's the nature of the match or anything like that. But I just think that might be an interesting thing to look at, right? In terms of like, is that the start of it? Is the start of it when Hogan throws the remains of a dead person in the Undertaker's eyes? You know? Who knows?
I mean, there's another big one too, obviously, in Austin Rock at 17. I'm a touch lower on that one than most, but that'll be up there, right? Bret Hart and Diesel, sorry, shows 95. That's another one for discussion.
Well, and it's interesting because it'll be interesting to see what a match like Austin Rock at 17, how does that compare to Austin Michaels?
Right.
Because obviously it's a better match, but it's probably not as important.
I mean, they're kind of bookends.
Yeah.
You could argue that Austin winning at 14 really launches the Attitude Era, depending on how you view 97. Like, if you view that as a bridge year or the Attitude Era or not. But, and then I've always looked at 17 as a peak. And then Austin Rock at 19 to me is kind of the end.
Right. It's the epilogue.
Yeah. Non-title. I mean, Brock Kurt's another big one.
That's great.
Savage
Flair is so underrated. I love that match so much. But again, Hogan, it's not main eventing. Sorry, Hogan Savage is huge because it culminates that angle. But like, then we have to weigh the other. Like, are we going to talk about like, okay, so what about the show that had the most people in it of all time? Right. So we look at WrestleMania 32.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest house ever, potentially worst title change.
Yeah, but I think that's where we start using some nuance. So I don't want to just be flat-minded on it, right? We know that the brand sold that Mania, not Triple H versus Roman Reigns.
Of course. Of course.
So I think that's where some of that nuance comes in. What sold that by Reigns?
Trust me, I'm not pushing for a Triple H match to be number one.
No, he's got no chance.
In fact, I don't know. Yeah. I can't think of a Triple H match that'll crack high in terms of his wins.
Well, it'll be interesting, too, with the irrelevant match. What's the worst?
Right.
Orton Bray at 33. That's going to be in there.
Maybe Mahal.
Yeah.
Winning. Like, but that's that. You know what's crazy about that? That's like 2 months after what you just said.
Right.
Is that the dead period for the title?
And then how do we rank little stuff like the Money in the Banks, cash-ins?
Cash-ins, yeah.
Del Rio.
Well, then again, Edge was really big, right? We probably have to actually talk about what the cash-in represented.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a real fun project. I'm looking forward to it for sure. It'll be cool reliving some of these that I haven't seen in a while for the ones to check out. And you should definitely watch along with us and kind of rank them as you go if you want, as you listen in. It's, like I said, it's something you have to do immediately. You can kind of do it as we go along because it's definitely going to take some time.
You can dig out the hidden footage of Antonio Inoki winning the title from Bob Backlund if you want to follow along.
We're going to get the official rankings from Chad on these to see which ones count, which ones don't. But
yeah. We're going to dig deep. We're going to listen to that. We're going to watch Bruno Sammartino lose to Ivan Koloff and with no sound, which is the only time I've ever seen it.
Andre Hogan's an interesting one, too, at main event.
Huge.
You know, the most watched show in history or whatever for a long time. And
yeah, but that was not that was sold on the Earl Hebner situation. It wasn't sold on Hogan Andre.
Come on. So that'll be a big one.
There's so many. There's so many to do. And then we might find some where it's going to be interesting, too, to compare guys' title reigns to each other. Like if you look at all of Bret Hart's wins, like, what's the most impressive one? Which is the least impressive one, right?
Yep.
And his least impressive might be the first one.
Oh, I would think so.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. Yeah,
yeah. It's off the top of my head, if I had to guess the ranking of it, the last one might be the best. Well, no,
I
Diesel.
Love that last one. Yeah. Well, I'd probably have Diesel too, but yeah.
Yeah, I'd have Bret Diesel 1, Bret Undertaker 2, Bret.
Yoko?
3.
Then the final four.
Final four. Well, no, that's right. It's final four. He wins. I think I'd have that 3. Then Bret Yoko 4. Then Bret Flair 5.
I guess it depends what we're talking about, right? Because the final four, he loses the next night. So ultimately.
Right. Isn't like much.
Yeah. Whereas 94, it's his year.
Yeah.
It's his crowning as the top guy.
All right. So there's a microcosm conversation of what this could be like.
Yeah. So if you like this kind of detailed stuff, that's where we're going.
It's a lot of fun. And we should talk, Aaron. Is there a benefit to going chronologically, or should we bounce around?
Well, let us know. Let us know what you guys want. Look, the chronological thing.
I guess you get the feel for the flow of the title changes and the progression.
Yeah, and we can bounce off the foundation of what's come before, which I think is important.
Right. Yeah.
So, for instance, like the Bret Hart beating Flair, like we just kind of shit on here, but like in chronological order, it becomes a very important thing.
Right. Yeah. It's okay. Shit. Yeah. Let's stick chronologically.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this was really meant to just be a primer. We know it's a quick one. There's a lot going on schedule wise right now, but we didn't want to miss an episode. We wanted to set the stage. And that way on our first time they're doing this in September, we can dive right in and not have to spend a lot of time recapping. So, we could refer to this as kind of the primer pilot to this project. But like I said, we do have something else coming in August for our second episode of that month. And then we'll kick this off, which I actually was thinking back. It's kind of fitting in a way because September is off the Night of Champions month in WWE.
Right.
So, it'll be a good time to kick it off. So it'll be our second show of September. And then here on out, once a month from there, we'll be breaking down these world title changes and ranking them in order. So definitely, you have a couple months. Reach out to us on social media. Aaron D. George, JT the Pod Guy on Twitter.
Aaron D. Justice.
Is that the official Twitter handle now?
Yeah, I just don't. Now that you've said it, it feels weird because the whole thing is I'm trying to take my last name off it, but it doesn't matter.
Aaron D. Justice, JC the Pod Guy on Twitter, or reach out to us on our Facebook groups for Notes Out Connection or wherever you can find us. And let us know if you have any criteria, suggestions, or thoughts of the best way to go about this to make sure we rank these accordingly beyond. We just absolutely do not want to just match pure match quality. So we want to understand what intangibles would make sense for something like this.
And I want everybody to understand it's because of my love for Sid Justice that I changed the handle.
Yeah, we know. All right. Be sure to check out everything we have to offer here in the North-South Connection. Great stuff coming at you 4 to 5 times a week. Wrestling, we go deep dives into a lot of things. Doing a lot of chrono watches where we're really picking up the minutia of the week-to-week programming. Looking at the forgotten moments of the Ruthless Aggressive era or of the Monday Night Wars, the early days of TNA, the New Generation era, even looking at stuff like Superstars. Like these shows that we do really span the globe of wrestling history. ECW Extreme 308 Dance should be back soon as well, recapping that. So we just have tons of stuff, Aaron, on the North-South Connection.
Yeah, and I truly appreciate, the internet can be such a toxic place, right? Mm-hmm. And I really feel that the love and support we've gotten for this network since we've lost it has really been touching. So you just know that if you took a second to write us just to say, hey, or to say, hey, I really like the show, or even if you wrote in criticism, like, it really means a lot. And it's why we keep doing them. So just a big thank you to everyone who's taken the time to participate.
Yeah, and if you too can just take that extra minute to go on Apple Podcasts or whatever app you use and leave us a rating and a review, like, that helps too with awareness. If you really like the network and the shows, that would be a big help as well, because that definitely picks up some extra ears and eyes. So we would appreciate that there too.
And no one has talked as much Ron Bass as us.
No one.
Not one person.
Zero people.
Not even Ron Bass. He doesn't even publicize his ass as much as we do.
Nor his family. No. All right. So that'll do it. Listen, we'll be back in a couple weeks with our August best SummerSlam workers in WWE history. So be sure to check that out. And then we'll continue on. So Dookie's been dropped.
Jockass.